What's good? This is Marcus, and I'm super excited to announce Chai Tea Vibes Lo-Fi Radio. This is a 24/7 lo-fi radio stream. We're going to be adding new vibes to this channel all the time. Whether you're studying, going on a long trip, cleaning, or just looking for something to set the mood, instead of going to Lo-Fi Girl, why don't you check out Chai Tea Vibes Lo-Fi Radio today? Let's lock in. What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shira.
And we would like to welcome you to another episode of the Black, Married, and Debt-Free podcast. And we're happy to be here with you guys. Shira, how are you doing on today?
I'm doing well.
That's
you know,
good.
We had a great start to our day.
We did.
We made our way to church, which was nice.
Yes.
Got some coffee, so I'm caffeinated.
Yes.
And feeling all right. How about yourself?
You know, Shire, I could give you the generic. Everything's great. You know what I mean? I could give you that. I could give our listeners that. But you guys deserve better. You know, I had a rough week.
Mm-hmm.
The weekend has been good. Has been a nice reprieve from just a very busy work week. Things changing at work, as I'm sure things are changing for many. But yeah, other than that, I'm great. I'm much better today. As I think about what Monday may look like, it, you know, gives me a little anxiety.
Oh, no. Well, I know that it will be Monday.
Yes.
A lot of folks will be listening on Monday.
On Monday. So
wishing you, know,
you. Yes, we're wishing you guys a
fantastic start to your week.
Beautiful start. But I'm optimistic. You know, so things are good. And Shara, today, you know, I really thought, I was telling you we were coming home, and I was telling you, you know, I think we need to have a real estate update pod, because for those of you who have been following us for a while, and maybe those are new, you know, just let you know, me and Shara are real estate investors. That's part of our strategy for early retirement or just wealth building in general. Part real estate, part stock market. And our real estate is mostly, or actually completely, through out of state buy and hold investing. And so we want to kind of just do an update. We're coming up on five years of being an investor. Shy, how you feel about that? In March, it's going to be 5 years you've been a real estate investor.
Yes. It doesn't really feel like 5 years, no, but I guess it has been 5 years.
Yeah.
And I know that we were talking about this year, 2023, really being a year of reflection.
Yes.
Because, you know, we kind of started it off kind of as an experiment.
You
yes. know, like we did our research.
Yes.
You know, we have our handy dandy spreadsheets and our 10-year plan for real estate. But real estate is really one of those industries that continues to change.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't think when we started, we anticipated the cost of houses to rise so
right.
much. And now, like, we're looking at higher interest rates. And so really with real estate, it's not really like a linear journey.
Mm-hmm.
There's like so many different variables
yes.
that play in your experience. And so like this year we were, you know, really going to reflect
right.
and say, hey, is real estate all that we thought that it was going to be?
I love that. And I know anyone who's been following us for any length of time probably would like to know, how has it been going for you guys?
Right.
You may be coming on at a point in your journey where you're just thinking about doing it, or where you're like, okay, you know, this couple says they've been doing it. Well, is it still a viable option? Does it still make sense? Is it still a good strategy to help me
right.
get to early retirement or to build significant wealth? And so we're going to kind of try to answer those from a 5-year vet perspective.
Oh my goodness. The term vet, like a veteran, like I feel like we're super knowledgeable.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think you said something else that was, I really want to highlight that before okay. we move forward. With real estate, it feels like real estate cannot be a set it and forget it type of investment vehicle.
You don't think so?
I think it can to a certain degree, but I think you need to maybe annually or biannually, or at some point you got to reassess and say, is this the best way to do real estate? Because the thing about real estate is there's so many ways to be an investor. There's so many things. You could be fix and flip. You can be buy and hold. You could be short-term rental, mid-term rental, you know. Mm-hmm. So we hear all these things, and I think you can't just be locked in on one. When the market changes, you may have to change your strategy with it too. So I think that's kind of where we're at, even Shia. We're like, okay, is the way we invest, does that still work? And I think that's something that if you become a real estate investor, anyone listening, you're going to have to at some point say, is this still working? Or do we pivot, you know? So
I also want to add in like the concept of time, because just like as you're saying, like there are different ways that you can make money in real estate, but also you don't have to be a jack of all trades. You don't have to do every single way. No. I can't fix nothing. I'm just going to be honest. Like I can't fix anything. Yeah. Okay. I could choose a paint color.
Yeah.
That's about it. So yeah, just knowing, what is it in real estate that brings you the most joy, fulfillment, and then of course profit as well. And yeah, you might have to pivot, and maybe you'll pivot and lean into something new.
Right.
Or you might say, this is my approach, and so I'm going to lean into timing.
Ride it out.
And, you know, do the right things at the right time, you know, to the best of my ability.
Yeah, so I'm going to let you drive this one, and we're going to get into it.
Okay, so 5 years in, we have 5 properties. We have 2 in North Carolina, and we have 3 in Alabama. And we were really blessed to get our start in real estate through the use of a home equity line of credit.
Yes.
And we took out a home equity line of credit after paying off a condo that we had purchased when the market had crashed. And so we had a lot of equity sitting in that particular home. And so we said, hey, we want to get into real estate. This is a way that we can get into real estate without having, we didn't save up any of our money. like we tapped into the equity of that home and we became our own bank, essentially. And so with that funding that was available to us, which was, how much was it? Do you recall?
$125,000.
Okay. So $125,000. We went out and we bought a very nice rental property in North Carolina. It is what I would say is our best property to date.
Yes.
And I mean, it looks nice. Like I felt that with at least our first home, if I wouldn't live there, I'm not going to buy it. I mean, obviously that's just me making money decisions with like my heart and not my brain.
we were still green, so that's
still
okay.
Very green, right? Yeah. Because we could have taken that money and probably got a few properties, but we got one,
right?
Okay, and because we were using a home equity line of credit, we were able to pay it in cash. So we closed in like a week. Of course, there's a payment, you know, associated with it because it was through a home equity line of credit, so. You know, we didn't have a traditional mortgage, but we did have to make monthly payments on that HELOC. And here we are today, 5 years later. And within that 5-year period of time, we sold our initial primary residence that had the HELOC.
Yes.
And when we sold that home, it completely paid off the HELOC. And so that meant that our first property, we now own free and clear. And so, like I mentioned, we have 5 properties, and so that leaves us with 4 other properties, and those properties have traditional mortgages where we put down 20% 30-year mortgages. So that's kind of like bringing everyone up to speed.
I was gonna say
where we are.
I'm glad you did that, Shia. I was gonna say, should we go bring them up to speed
today? So I do have a couple of categories that I would like you to comment on.
Oh, I'm here for it.
And the first one is just the experience. like, without, we're definitely going to dive into the numbers because it's tax season. Yeah, we're getting all of our numbers together, and we're actually going to be sharing some numbers on this podcast. Yeah. So
this is the only place, exclusive.
We're going to spill the tea.
Yes.
And we're going to provide a level of transparency mm-hmm. that I don't think everyone gives.
No.
But anywho, but just, I think it would be great to just have you just comment on the experience of going, comment on the journey up until this point.
Shara, what am I doing right now?
You're smiling, but
from ear to ear.
But you always smile.
From ear to ear, man. Just when you ask that question, I immediately start smiling, man. Like, Shara, you know, I always tell you, for me, experiences are so important because in the recesses of my mind, sometimes I just go back and think about moments and I'm like, man, that was really fun. I don't know if I do that more than the average person, but I do that a lot mm-hmm. to help me through times where I'm not really feeling the best or I'm, you know, a little bit anxious or whatever. I just think, man, I remember when we did this or when I did that, or I could see it very vividly. And when you ask that question, man, I just reflect on how new, how fresh, how fun the experience was of first learning how to invest and learning what was going to be our strategy, and then finding a home and finding an agent and just the process of it all. And then going to see, closing on the home and going to see it from each home. It gives me a different joyful experience mm-hmm. because I knew what we were doing. I knew we were creating this legacy, you know, piece by piece, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just one step at a time. And so I totally enjoyed it for we talk about reflecting on the feeling of it. It was all pleasant. It's all fun, fresh. I had the feeling of doing something that I don't think many people in my family have done. You know, taking a chance that I don't think many people in my family have taken. And it just felt fresh. It felt like, for lack of a better word, like you were going on this voyage. You know what I mean? Like you're finally doing something that I don't know if anyone around me has done this. You know, whereas in other aspects of our life, you're doing things that, you know, you've seen, right? Mm-hmm. But this is something that I had not seen with my own eyes.
Yeah.
And it just felt very empowering, and I wouldn't trade those experiences for the world. To a certain extent, those experiences drive me to keep doing it. You know, the numbers are great too, and the numbers kind of work themselves out, but your hunger is for, I want to create another experience. So yeah, man, that's how it's been for me. Pleasant all the way through, you know what I'm saying? What about you, Shai?
Yeah, it has been great.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember having like the idea, just mm-hmm. the idea of real estate, and I did share it with a few people and some of my coworkers. They would laugh, and you know, I was, you know, pretty expressive and pretty excited about it, even though yeah. I hadn't done it yet. And I know one time I mentioned it to someone, and I said, yeah, I was thinking about it, and I kind of gave her some insight as to our plan mm-hmm, and what we mm-hmm. were about to do. And she disclosed to me in private that she also had several properties.
Wow.
And she told me the story about how she owned a lot of land and she sold that land mm-hmm. and to, I guess, save on some taxes, she yeah. wanted to use the money to purchase all these properties, and how only a handful of people knew that she had them.
Right.
And even at that time, you know, certain people in her family did not know.
Right.
Not even her children. She hadn't disclosed it to them.
Wow.
That, you know, that that's what she had done. And when she told me that story, I felt like, okay, this is a sign that we're moving in the right direction. And like, she wasn't like a high, you know, she wasn't like, you know, I mean, she was an average worker, mm-hmm. like myself. Like, she did not appear to be rich.
Yeah.
You know, but yet she had all this real estate.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, oh my gosh. I just felt like so privileged that she would share that with me. And it was like, for me, I took it as kind of like a sign, like, okay,
yeah.
you're going in the right direction. This is what you should be doing.
I love that, Sharon. To piggyback on that, it feels almost like it's a fraternity of people, like almost like a secret society of people that own property aside from their primary residence. Like,
mm-hmm.
so I did make mention that I had never seen like my family do it, but I do have an uncle that shall remain nameless to keep him anonymous. But I remember him mentioning something about property before. And when we were thinking about doing it, I called him to say like, hey, do you own property? Like, and he does, you know? And so I felt like, man, okay, people do this, you yes. know what I mean? And he was yes. telling me about his mentor that, you know, had done it. And I was like, okay. So it's just like, you feel like you're in this fraternity and it's like, I can do this, you know? So I like that story that you laid out there, Shire, about your coworker. That's dope.
Yeah. And so, I mean, there's a lot of people, they have houses and they're in real estate. They don't say anything.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
They don't say anything, you know, and that's fine because yes. that's their business.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, but there is that kind of fear when you're just getting started. Like, oh my goodness,
yeah.
no one else, you know, has done this, or I'm going to be the first or.
Yes.
You know, or maybe the first in my immediate family.
Yes.
And like, if I do this and it doesn't work out, nobody can bail me out. So yep. it's just like, yeah. so let's just make sure that we're, you know, that we're crossing our T's and dotting our I's. But I would say all in all, the experience has been really great. We've been able to meet a lot of great people.
Great people.
Build a lot of different relationships. And so.
And I love that we got to do it together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me and you getting on planes, we were doing stuff for the first time together.
Yeah.
And that's like, that just kind of strengthens your bond. It's like, hey, both our names are on this. And like you said, if this goes bad,
hey,
yo, it's going bad for both of us, you know.
And I think that that's great. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, especially like for younger couples, like you should strive to grow together, you know,
together,
especially
yeah.
when it comes to relationships. We have people who want to come to the table as the full package and mm-hmm. already have, you know, everything, but it's okay to be broke and to yeah, build together.
To build together.
And yeah. so that has definitely been great for us and
yeah.
it's part of our journey and in our experience.
Yes.
So while we have shared a lot of pleasantries,
mm-hmm.
as far as the experience, maybe what are some things that were maybe not so pleasant that maybe you did not expect?
Woo, that's a good one, Shire. One thing that I realized is that the payoff on real estate is slow.
Mm-hmm.
It's a slow, long-term investment vehicle. Especially when you're doing long term. I mean, look at the title of the strategy, long term buy and hold, right? You're getting rents that are $1,000, but your mortgage may be $600. So you got a $400 spread before your, you know, expenditures for maintenance and different things. So at the end of the day, you're not turning a huge profit every month, but over time that thing will build up. The equity in the house will gain, but all that takes time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a quick fix. It's not a quick buck. What?
Right.
Yeah. So you kind of, that is a kind of splash of water to when you finally realize, okay, I bought this big thing. I did this big, huge thing. But once that's set and you walk away from the experience, the money comes in slow, trickles in.
Yeah. I would agree with that because, you know, you're putting down a down payment. So mm-hmm. that's going to be thousands of dollars.
Yes.
And then it might take a few years before you recoup what you put in.
Right.
Before you technically
are in the
see
black.
A profit.
See a profit.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep. So that's very true.
Yeah. So that's peace. And then I think this year, which I think we're going to get into it more, but if not, I can go in now. The influx of repairs really, really hit.
Yes.
In 2022. Hit like no other year, I think.
Yes.
And that was a rude awakening that the type of home you buy, the year in which you buy, it can affect the little knick-knack repairs that you do going forward.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with that. Mm-hmm. And we've had some major repairs. We had a roof that needed to be repaired. I'm talking about a full roof.
Entire roof.
An entire roof was repaired. We did an entire new AC for one of the units. AC repairs.
Mm-hmm. Water heater. We had a water heater. That was in 2021. We had an entire flood door or a sliding glass.
It scared me. Okay.
Sliding glass door.
Was that in 2022?
That was in 2022.
Okay.
Did the whole sliding glass door.
Yes.
That was like $1,500. Then we've had a door kicked in before that we had to replace.
See?
And then what we're going through now, which is probably not our biggest, but one of our biggest, is a tenant repair. So a tenant leaving and they tow the house up, which is a first for us.
Yes, it's definitely a first for us. And we got a really big bill for all of the things that needed to be repaired and replaced. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's painting, there's flooring that needs to be redone, and just wear and tear that was probably above average.
Yes.
That, you know, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
But yeah. So
those are some of the bad, I guess, for me, Shire, is how long it takes to build. And here's the thing too, Shire, and we've shared this. You can't just buy a few and stop and expect it to build. The build comes from the consistent acquisition of another one. So you get 200 here, 200 there, 200 times 10. Now you're at 2,000. 200 times, you know, 15 homes. Okay, so now you're making, now you're doing something here. But, you know, with the interest and with the pandemic and with kind of how the economy went, we put a pause on our acquisition. And so now you kind of have time to sit and look at what you got, and you're like, okay, is this what I thought it would be?
Yeah, and I feel like we've had this conversation because a couple of our houses are older houses, like houses that were like built like in the 60s. So, I mean, that's a house 50, 60 years old. And you have to think about the upkeep on the home before you got it. And so while we purchase houses that are pretty much turnkey, they're turnkey aesthetically.
There
so that
go.
Means when I walk in, it looks nice, but still, you know, there are other things and other repairs that
wear and tear
and, you know, things that are just beyond it looking nice. And so now it's kind of like, okay, do we need to reevaluate how we buy? Is it worth getting a more expensive home?
Come on, Shara.
You know, because buying a more expensive home might save in costs down the line. So it's kind of like, do you want to pay less now and have more repairs or potentially pay more now and have less repairs and probably higher appreciation because of the quality of property that you're buying? And so sometimes people like to like grade houses like this is in an A neighborhood, B or C or D. So it's kind of like, okay, do we want to buy seed neighborhoods, you know, or do we want to buy in a B neighborhood,
right?
You know, so I think that we're thinking about those questions more deeply now.
Yes.
Instead of, okay, oh, I got enough money just to get something really quickly. It's like, okay, what do we want to, you know, do? And I know that we've also explored buying a house in California, which sounds crazy.
It sounds insane.
And, you know, we went out of our state because it costs so much to live here. But is it worth, you know, possibly selling a house out of state and then taking that profit and putting it into a house in California where we might see greater appreciation depending on the neighborhood that we buy in?
Yes.
And then also having something closer, you know, closer asset might be beneficial even for the children.
Right.
Like, hey, we have this house in California.
Yeah.
Leave mine and go down the street, you know? Yeah. So I don't know. I think there are a lot of possibilities and just a lot of questions that we're thinking about now that we're 5 years in.
Yes.
That we didn't necessarily think about at the beginning.
Yeah. So, I think you're absolutely right, Shara. Absolutely right.
Now I think I want to jump into whether or not this is still a profitable business.
Show me the money.
Yes.
Show me the money.
And let's talk about it. We will show y'all the money. We're going to spill the beans.
Let's spill the tea, Shara. I mean, they've been here this long. Let's talk about it.
And also see, you know, I don't know. Feel free to share your thoughts.
But before you get deep in this, Shara, you know, I came to you to start the year after a long, hard year of repairs last year.
Yes, long, hard repairs. And let's note that we were paying for our repairs not with the use of a credit card.
No,
we're using
all real estate income.
Reserves and profit.
And so I knew that, man, this year is going to be is an interesting year, you know, as far as profit after expenses. And I said, Shara, what I want to do for 2023, because in the same time, we finally maxed out our contributions to our 401k and our Roth IRA. So like we're investing way more in the stock market than we ever have. The real estate kind of was on pause because of the interest rate hikes, and we, you know, it wasn't being really feasible for us to buy. And we were getting a lot of repairs. So I said, Shara, for 2023, let's just pause, stay on this pause that we're on, keep investing in the stock market, but let's keep a close eye on the expenses. If the expenses look anything like they did in 2022, this year, at the end close of the year, we decide, do we want to keep doing this or do we want to sell and consolidate to some type of other investment? Be that another house, or if we just pour that money into the stock market, because it wasn't profitable. So now we're going to get into the numbers to really, and I haven't done this yet, but we're going to see. Now we're not going to include the repairs, but we're going to just include what we made for profit minus the mortgages on the home. So you can get an idea of what the profit really looks like.
Yeah. And so, I will say that, you know, we were having a conversation with another couple on the podcast who also invest in real estate, and you know they really reiterated the point that once you get things fixed, you usually don't have to repair them again.
That's a good thing,
you know. Yeah. So yes, we had to repair, we had to do a whole new roof, but guess what, we should not have to do another roof on that particular house for, you know, 15 years.
Yep.
So, okay. So, 5 houses, 5 years later, what was our profit? Y'all, we got our tax statements. And so, we're able to...
Wait, Shara. Mm-hmm. Give me the number. Give me the gross first.
I'm going to give you the gross.
Yeah, okay. Make me feel good.
Okay. So, the gross. This is before mortgages. But this is the gross... But this is the gross after our property management has taken their fees. Because we're looking at the statements that they provided us. Right. So it's the gross, but it does take out their fee, which ranges from 8 to 10%. Okay, so $52,642.
Okay.
That was the gross profit from last year.
Which is good. I mean, that's some folks' salary. That's more than the average salary in the U.S. So,
yeah.
I mean, okay. I'm with you.
But here's the spin that you are going to have expenses with any business. And so the expense that we were able to easily calculate really quickly was the total cost of mortgages. So this is mortgages for 4 homes. And the mortgages... Oh, I was going to give a range. Actually, don't have the monthly amount listed out. But anywho, I'll just give you the grand total. So the grand total for the year was $20,343.72. And so the profit after taking the gross minus the mortgages is $32,298. and 28 cents. Okay, Marcus' mouth is really wide. He's looking shocked I actually didn't tell him the profit number.
I am shocked. That's better than I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, shoot, we just did an
article. So 32K.
Right. We just did an article in Business Insider where we tallied the numbers and it was from like a year or so ago. Not this year, but last year.
I think we told him 28,000. Okay, so.
So shoot, we could have upped that number. Could have looked a little bit cooler with 32.
I know.
But that's dope. That's dope.
Yeah. So.
So that's promising. And I'm going to tell you why in a second. Go ahead, Shaq. Keep going.
Okay, but the 32,000 obviously does not include those repairs we mentioned, because we didn't itemize the cost for that. So y'all can.
I'm going to ballpark and say we did. Shaq, I'm going to keep it 100 with you. We probably did $15,000 in repairs last year.
That is enough to make me faint.
So that just shows you. But that was a bad year. You don't have the same repairs every year.
That was a bad year.
So I'm going to tell you why I'm optimistic about that there.
Okay. Why are you optimistic?
That was the first year that all four or five homes were tenant occupied the entire year.
Except for 1 month. Oh, no. The whole year. The whole year. You're right. Mm-hmm. The whole year.
But we had a tenant issue to close the year on our most profitable home.
Right.
Where we didn't get a month and a half, 2 months of rent. Was it 2 months? We didn't get 1 month of rent.
Yep.
So there's that. Going into 2023, our current year, every single home rent has been raised.
Yes.
Our most profitable home, rent will be raised $200 a month. Yes. More than 200. It's more than 200. 225 a month. So that's a month more on just one home.
Yes.
Our second highest profitable home is going to be raised, I believe, $100 a month. And then all other three in Montgomery have all increased too. I'm not exactly sure of them. So that could stand to be a lot higher next year. And yes, with less repairs, hopefully.
Yes.
This might be a good year. We might be back in business.
Yeah. I pray that it's a good year.
So with that said, what are your thoughts going forward, Shire? As we kind of get towards the end here, what are your thoughts on real estate investing with the information we have now? The people want to know.
Okay.
They want to know, should they do this?
I really love your enthusiasm because you like got excited all of a sudden. So I feel like I'm starting to get excited all of a sudden. And it's really interesting how we do real estate. So like we don't actually live on any income from real estate. We treat it as like its own business and its own entity.
Yes.
And every dollar and cent that is seen as a profit is actually reinvested into the business. And the way that it's reinvested is we save up those dollars and we use it. The goal is to use it for a down payment for another house.
For the next house.
You know, because for the last 5 years, look at me, for the last 5 years, we have been taking money out of our own pocket to like acquire some of our last couple of properties.
Help out. Yeah.
You know, so I think that, you know, this year with the rent increases and praying for less repairs this year, that we might be able to save enough money for another home.
To get back in the hamster wheel.
Get back in the business. We'll see what these interest rates look like because obviously you want to invest at the right time. Mm-hmm. And you want to keep those mortgages low so that your profit is high.
Yes.
So I think that I'm also optimistic as well. And I feel that what's happening is we're becoming like more seasoned, more seasoned investors. And that excitement and all of that we used to have, like we still have that.
Yes.
But we have all of these lessons that we've learned along the way to help us. And obviously, we want to continue to have these conversations so other people will learn too.
Yes.
And to be honest with our listeners, like we have a real estate course, but we're not releasing the course.
Right.
Because we don't want to steer people in the wrong direction. At the wrong time. Like if you want to invest, you do you. Mm-hmm. But for a certain audience, it could be a not so great time
yes.
for certain individuals. And I don't want to lead people astray. Yeah. We don't want to lead people astray. Mm. And so we're kind of like holding on to that, but yes. we're still having these conversations and we're being open, honest, and transparent. And I feel that a lot of folks online, they just want to do the glamour life.
Come on.
And act like they're making so much money. They'll only tell you the profit. Mm-hmm. They won't tell you how much they're paying in mortgages. They won't tell you that, you know.
We could have easily been like, yo, we made 50-something last year, y'all. Real estate, yo, it's what we do. And it's been, and turn the mics off.
Right. And it wouldn't have been a lie.
Right.
But it wouldn't have been the whole truth. Yeah. Right. And so yeah. I think that we do need content creators to. Mm-hmm. Be transparent.
Let's keep it 100, man.
And to be honest.
This stuff's not easy.
Yeah. But anywho.
But yeah, we going on a rant. But you're right, Shia.
I'm sorry. I don't want to put anyone else down because there's a lot of fantastic content creators. But anywho. But here we are 5 years later.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm feeling optimistic after this, Shia.
I'm optimistic,
We too. Needed to do this. We needed to do this for therapy's sake.
I think so. Because, you know, we were driving in the car today and Marcus said that he wanted to have this conversation. And I really didn't want to have it. I really didn't want to have it. Like, I was just like, you know, I need more time to think. All I need right. more time to, like, process. And really, when we are taping a podcast, a lot of times we are doing a lot of processing
yes.
and thinking about things like live on the air, and we don't have a script and we don't have a bunch of notes.
Yeah.
But I think it was helpful for us. Right. And I hope that.
Hopefully it was helpful for y'all too.
They can say, oh, okay, real estate is lit. Or some people will say, no, it's not for me. Or, oh, I thought it was more, you know. There's going to be
right
many opinions. But the fact is that we're just one individual. We're just sharing our experience.
Yes.
And other people there will be a variety of experiences, I'm sure.
Yeah. I love that, Shia. I love that. And I appreciate you. Because Shia really likes to be, you know, topic oriented and, you know, we need to have notes. And she still got her notes. But, turn these mics on.
These are mostly numbers. So we're doing the math.
Okay. You got your numbers. But yeah, I appreciate this, Shia. This was a great convo. So we hope you enjoyed this episode of the Black Married and Deaf Free Podcast. And if you do, you can't just like hold that in and just keep that to yourself. We need you to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're consuming this podcast. We need you right after this to go on and leave us a 5-star review and a little blurb saying, hey, I really enjoy Marcus and Shia. Marcus and Shia, they're good people. You know, I appreciate them. Whatever, just anything along with your 5-star review. Yes. That really helps us. Shia, any other thoughts on today? Or are you good? You good to go?
I'm good to go.
All right. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed this, and we're going to holler at y'all on the next episode. Peace.
Bye.